I just asked Arnold. Yeah, he said, yeah, we're cutting up all the wood. So I'll call this meeting of the Center Resources Committee to order. And I'd like to introduce the senators that are here with us today. I'm Senator Tom Wagoner from Kenai, Alaska. And I'm the chair of the Center Resource Committee. To my right is Kim Elton, the senator from Juneau, also a member of the committee. And my vice chair of the Center Resource Committee, Ralph Seekins from Fairbanks. In addition, we have Senator Donnie Olson from Gulliman, who's been going on this roadshow with us. And this is the next last stop. We were in Nome on Monday. We were Fairbanks on Tuesday. We went up to Coldfoot and Wiseman on Wednesday. And Thursday we traveled back to Fairbanks, and here we are in Barrow today. And we're very happy to be here. And I'd like to at this time thank the mayor and his staff for the hospitality they've shown us, and thank him for lunch and breakfast. He doesn't know about breakfast yet. He just knows about lunch. So with that, I'd like to turn this over to Donnie Olson at this time and have him make some further introductions.
Well, certainly on behalf of the people from the North Slope Borough that I represent, I want to go ahead and welcome the senators up here from the Senate Resources Committee. I'm not on the Resources Committee, so I certainly want to thank them for coming up and having this hearing on this very important bill that people are very passionate about up here in the borough and on the North Slope in general. I want to thank also Representative Reggie Jewell, who's in the crowd here, who also represents this area. We have been down in Juneau, obviously, listening to what's going on here, and he's here, as well as Marla Berg, who works in government affairs with Dennis Roper. My staff member here is Greta Shirk from Kiana, sitting over here to my left, and she has been down there for the last year and is going to be down there for this next year, although she keeps threatening to go off to school to finish off her education there in college. We've also got Sam Keeter III, who is a consultant for the North Slope Borough, and is very important in some of the issues that are being brought up down in Juneau, and has certainly been with us on this road trip on this hearing these two bills, Senate Bill 85 and Senate Bill 170. I want to thank Mayor Amawa and Mayor Ulamon for being hospitable to us here and for making us feel welcome here in Barrow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I'd also like to state that Arnold Brower Jr. is going to be doing any interpreting that we need interpreted today, and I've decided just to let him call the names out for the people to testify. That will save me some embarrassment and it'll help us get along a little quicker. So with that, I can handle the first one. The first person to testify here in Barrow is George Amawak Sr. George?
Thank you, and good afternoon. Welcome to Barrow. An honor to have the Senate Resource Committee come up here and have a public hearing, take a testimony, and it's kind of like a luxury. We hardly ever see any of the committee members from the state of Alaska come to Barrow and host committee meetings and provide for public testimony. So this is kind of the first time that I've seen a committee really come up here. I wish we had multiple other committee members on other issues affecting the North Shore Borough at their public hearing, but this is the first one out of this resource, and I want to thank you. I want to welcome Senator Wagner, Chairman of the Resource Committee, also Senator Seekins, sponsor of Senate Bill 85, committee member Senator Olton, and our own Senator Donnie Olson, which represents our district here, and any of your staff who came along. I also want to thank our local community leaders that are here today, citizens, who have come out here to testify at this hearing. The committee came to Barrow to hear North Slope perspectives, and I appreciate all of you here in this room who come out to testify. The history of the Hall Road has been very much like the history of oil development in our borough. It all started out small and contained, but over time it has expanded and changed into something very different from what we thought we were getting. With oil development, what started out as a project at Prudhoe Bay gradually spread across the tundra into a series of fields that marched all the way to the Colville River and now spreading across National Petroleum Reserve Number 4. In the same way, the Dalton Highway was originally planned and built as an industrial supply road with only one purpose, to get material up to Prudhoe Bay over time. Its purpose has expanded. First, there were tour buses allowed. Then the road was open to public traffic. And now we're told that off-road vehicles may be allowed on the restricted corridor. This is how things have happened up here. First, we are asked to go along with one project that has limited and definable impact on our traditional subsistence in our village life. But once it's built, it becomes a stepping stone to other uses with all kinds of impact that nobody has planned for. I think it's very important for you to understand the way that we see things. Otherwise, our objections won't make any sense to you. You come all this way to hold a hearing, and I'd like you to leave with a better sense of why we feel the way that we do. You may not agree with it, but at least you'll see where we're coming from. When we were told that a road is going to be built, a road that's going to cut across 170 miles of our borough, and it's going to slice right through the major migration route of our caribou, and it's going to have 18-wheeler trucks kicking up dust and making noise, we naturally get worried about the impact of this road on subsistence. But the state of Alaska reassures us that the impacts will be limited, because the road will only be used by the oil companies, and their employees will not be allowed to hunt. So the haul road opens to industrial traffic, and we're still nervous. And we see impacts, but we feel we've been giving a promise of limited use of that road and limited impact. We make the compromise, and we accept the road based on these promised restrictions. Here's the important part. We don't forget the promises that have been made to us. We respect the people who gave us their word, and on behalf of the state of Alaska. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 85 is proposed legislation that the North Slope Borough adamantly opposes. However, I know that it is important for you to understand how it looks from our view. Up here, we still remember the promise of limited use, which was based on a commitment not to mess up the natural movement of caribou and other animals. We remember the promise not to create any more than an absolute minimum of impact of our traditional subsistence and our village way of life. We're tired of tolerating one impact after another, until the cumulative impact have done serious damage to the wildlife that are trying to survive up here and to the people who are trying to maintain a traditional way of life. That's where we're coming from, Mr. Chairman. We have welcomed the oil and gas industry, and we have worked with the state of Alaska and the federales to accommodate the needs of a healthy oil and gas economy. Our people have spent more time in Washington, D.C. lobbying for Arctic National Wildlife Refuge than any other municipality in the state. We've been a good partner, but we don't feel as though we're being treated like a partner in return. Bit by bit, we're losing ground. We're losing our local control. We're losing our financial stake in the resource activity that eats up more and more of our landscape every day. this borough was formed 33 years ago for two major reasons. One, so that we could have a meaningful role in land use decisions that affect subsistence. And number two, so that local residents could have a stake in all of this oil and gas activity through our local property tax. But in recent years, federal and state policies have constantly chipped away at both of these forms of local participation. It's happening in coastal zone management, where our local programs are being gutted by the state of Alaska, taking away local control. It's happening with National NPRA, where sensitive habitat is being leased over our objections, and legislation is introduced to take away the impact aid we were promised in federal law. It's happening with offshore leasing, where deferral areas that were designed to protect the bowhead whale migration have been dropped. It's happening with state roads projects on the North Slope, where hundreds of miles of new roads will open up vast stretches of subsistence territory in the borough and further degrade traditional subsistence use patterns for our people. Mr. Chairman, our people see this pattern of taking away more and more of our local control. How are we supposed to feel? I'll tell you one thing. People up here are not feeling like partners. Partners engage in give and take. But with this type of proposed legislation and other state actions, the state is doing all the taking and the people up here are doing all the giving. Mr. Chairman, I'm only the mayor for another month. Then I'm history. But I'm talking to you as a mayor whose record has been pro-development. I'm just telling you what I see on the horizon. That is, if these types of negotiative actions continue to flow into the North Slope borough, our positive development posture could change. Senate Bill 85 is just one issue that could weaken our quality of life. I don't need to get into the details of our objections of this bill, because there is a lot of people in here who can do that. You already know that there's no provision in this bill, in Senate Bill 85, for additional fish and game enforcement or police protection to handle the additional traffic and off-road activity. The zero physical note are proof of that. It's just like opening the haul road to the public traffic without adding any traveler services along the road. It guarantees that there will be a lot of impact and show little regard for these impacts. If there was any level of commitment to protection, there would be dollars to go along with this bill, but they ain't. But dollars won't fix this bill. A few more enforcement officers couldn't stop the damage that public access could cause. Let me give you an example. If you went to Anaktuwa Pass, one of our villages in the mountains, and talked with the people there, the first thing they might do is translate the word Anaktuwa for you. It means a place of refuge. The traditional migratory path of the caribou. The Anaktuwa Pass residents will tell you this because it shows how important caribou are to that community. The herd migrates right by their village, and it is the main source of their subsistence food. One thing they've learned from generations of dependence on the caribou is that you never want to shoot into the first wave of the animals coming through. If you do that, it can cause the rest of the herd to change course, and all of a sudden your migration has gone somewhere else. You can imagine how a few
inexperienced hunters. Wandering around the tundra at the wrong time could have a serious impact on the course of the migration and the ability of the people in Unobtrusive Pass to continue their traditional harvest. That's just one example of the concerns our people have, Mr. Chairman. I know this bill is not intentionally trying to harm people who live on the North Slope, but the bottom line is that it would harm us. And in reality, there is no adjustment or physical note that can fix that. Like I said, we're faced with new impacts from oil and gas development every day, and this proposed bill would even bring more impacts. We were promised long ago that the haul road would not be used in ways that would seriously compromise the North Slope environment or the subsistence animals moving through. This bill would harm the environment. It would disrupt the normal movements of the caribou. It would be totally unmanaged. It could cause serious harm to our traditional way of life. There's nothing in this bill that offers anything except pain, suffering, gray hair, and ulcers. I'm going to add, before I end, Arnold Jr. from the mayor's office is here to assist with your translation if it need be. If any of the folks here that testified in your bill, they'll translate it to English simultaneously by Mr. Arnold Jr. Again, welcome to the North Slope Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before we go any further, I forgot to allow one thing to happen. I forgot to allow Senator Seekins to give a brief view of Senate Bill 85. So at this time, before we have any testimony, I'd appreciate it if you'd do that. And any of you who have written testimony, I'd appreciate you turn it in either to myself or to Mary Jackson. Mary Jackson, by the way, is my chief of staff. And she's also staff to the Resource Committee. So thank you very much, George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hope those that have had an opportunity can find copies of the packet that were made available with the mayor.
Yes, sir.
I think if you take a look at the sponsor statement and the letter of intent that's attached to the bill, you'll see some of the reason that the bill is proposed. The bill is proposed primarily at the request of many other people, many other classes. We, in fact, proposed this bill in the 23rd legislature. And we also, in the 23rd legislature, proposed to amend the bill to exclude those lands that were in the North Slope Borough. But there was still opposition from the North Slope Borough, even though there was a proposal to remove that section from the bill. Senator Olson, your senator, came and spoke with me. And I said, you know, Senator, one thing that we don't want to do is force something down someone's throat without giving it adequate consideration. Because one of the things that we have a responsibility to do is to look at all the different points of view of the people of the state of Alaska. One of the things, Mr. Chairman, in considering that, that was brought to my attention are some of the constitutional mandates that we have. And out of Article 8, Sections 1, 2, and 3 of the Alaska Constitution, and here I'll provide them verbatim, it's the policy of the state to encourage the settlement of its land and the development of its resources by making them available for maximum use consistent with the public interest. Two, the legislature shall provide for the utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources belonging to the state, including lands and waters, for the maximum benefit of its people. And three, wherever occurring in their natural state, fish, wildlife, and waters are reserved to the people for common use. And you know, I think one of the things that the legislature recognizes is that it's the policy of the state to encourage the development of its lands and resources, but in a manner that recognizes the collective interests of the people as the owners of these lands and these resources. And it's consistent with the public interest that resources be developed responsibly, not ruined or plundered, not destroyed. I've been a strong advocate of planned, orderly growth and development of the resources. I'm only a grandfather, but I teach my sons, my daughters, and my grandchildren to respect those values, and that before you destroy something, you need to take a look at how you can use it wisely. I believe that we, as the humans who walk this land, have a stewardship responsibility. I think that stewardship responsibility, from my personal perspective, is divinely granted to us, and an awesome responsibility that sits on our shoulders as a result of that. I feed my family moose, caribou, halibut, salmon that we harvest ourselves. And I respect the values of all those people who do the same. I respect the fact that you should want to do so, and if you can, we should help provide for that necessity. I learned from my grandfathers, and I'm teaching my grandsons and my granddaughters the same way. One thing that I know is also the heart of a young man. And a heart of a young man to experience and to take advantage of those things that surround you, to do it wisely. So when the people came to me from my part of the state and said, why don't we have responsible access to this huge portion of the state that lies north of the Yukon River? I said, I don't know, but I'll see if I can find out. Mr. Chairman, I researched the background of the Hall Road as carefully as I could. I got a copy of a couple of documents today that were provided by Mr. Roper. These are just several of the documents that I've seen before in my research. I look back at this and say here in the words of, I think, Governor Hammond, who was a friend of mine, and may God rest his soul. And Governor Hammond said that it's my view, which has been reaffirmed by the legislature's attempt to pass a bill which substantiates with similar provisions, that the Hall Road and adjacent land deserve special attention and careful management by both the state and federal governments to ensure that all their beneficial uses and values are their beneficial values are maximized and the adverse impacts minimized. I believe that. This bill says that we remove a blanket prohibition to all off-road vehicles. That word scares people. The definition of off-road vehicle scares people. We heard in Colville a lady who I've known for a long time and highly respect, a grandmother, say that meant that bulldozers would be going across the lands because bulldozers are off-road vehicles. Before we even introduced this bill, we talked with the land managers that are involved in the corridor, the Bureau of Land Management up until you get to the North Slope Borough boundaries, the State Department of Natural Resources as you proceed farther north. Everywhere else in Alaska, these people have a responsibility for land use planning. If anyone were to suspect for even a second that these two agencies, if this prohibition were gone, would turn loose the bulldozers and the four-wheelers and let them destroy the land, they're sorely mistaken. Their intent in the North Slope, and I'm going from the highest levels of DNR. Let me go one step farther. There's a provision in this bill that says this bill, the day it's passed into law, cannot become effective for 12 more months. You can't do anything for that 12 months because that's the time that the BLM, the DNR, the Department of Fish and Game, the game boards would step in and say, here are the regulations under which we will operate in this corridor. Their intent on the North Slope, and I'm paraphrasing a letter that I have in my own files, would only to be allowed snow machine travel only after there was a certain amount of ground cover and a snow cover, and only after there had been a certain level of freezing in the lands. There's no intent at this time for anyone that was on the Board of Game, or I think I'm would be saying this correctly, for the Department of Fish and Game to allow people to use those vehicles to harvest additional game animals. There's good precedent in the state that says you can't use wheeled vehicles or powered vehicles here to harvest or even to haul game out of a particular area. I remember a number of years ago a guy named John Chandelmeyer, who was a dog musher, that got in trouble for hauling a caribou out in his dog sled for someone else because he violated state regulations that were put in place on methods and means. The state has the ability, and the federal government has the ability, by putting in place methods and means and further restrictions to accommodate the recreational use of some of these lands. As I said, I was a young man once. I'm 60 years old now. My back won't do it. My snow machine goes very slow. My son's goes very fast. It takes me 50% or more longer to get from point A to B than it gets to them. But as I drove that haul road, I pointed out to Senator Wagner and others in the vehicle, the area around Finger Mountain where someone could snow machine, it would be snow machine heaven in the wintertime for recreational uses. But yet they can't. They can't enjoy the land for recreational purposes because our state law says there's a blanket prohibition. When we could put in place the necessary controls through land use plans to be able to allow the people of the state to recreationally use some of those lands without breaking our law. Interestingly, there are some exceptions to the law. Mining vehicles, oil exploration, and there they can use anything. What we're suggesting is that we remove the blanket prohibition and through the public process, which DNR has told me would be about 150 days after the law was enacted, that they would have ready for public comment the land use plan for that part of the state. We're suggesting that we enter into that process. In that 12-month period of time, a letter of intent says, if you don't get it done, we're going to extend it another 12 months. I hope I live long enough to be able to say, look, you guys don't have this done, and if they don't, we're going to extend it. Or if they come back with some really wild-eyed wacko proposal, which I really don't understand, we as a legislature always have the right to come back and repeal the law. There's a time frame in there for people of the state to carefully examine what's being proposed and through public comment get it amended. I believe when I'm doing that, I'm living up to my constitutional mandate and I believe I'm acting in the best interest of my children and your children and all of our grandchildren to have planned, orderly growth and development that does not adversely affect the lifestyles of other people, but can be accommodated through wise use, through being good stewards of the land. If I'm wrong, I don't want to be hard-headed. I'm old enough and I have enough gray hair to know that I've not been right every time in my life. I'm here to listen, as are your others. But I came from a family of seven. Sometimes one of my brothers was right, sometimes they were wrong. Sometimes I was right, and sometimes I was wrong. Somewhere along the line, Mom and Dad said, you know, there's a way to do this so that we get the maximum benefit of all of you in the family. That's what I'm after. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Seekins. Before we go any further, too, I just want to explain what the status of this bill currently is. This bill is currently in the Rules Committee, and it got put there at the request of the current mayor and his staff, and we had a meeting with Senator Olson, Senator Seekins, and I, and we put this bill in the Rules Committee to sit there until we did come and listen to what you folks had to say and went around the state and did our roadshow. So that's primarily why we're here today, is to listen to what you have to say about this bill and continue on from there. And that's what we're going to do. So I give you my promise on that. So with that, I'm going to turn the introduction of future testifiers over to Arnold Brower, Jr. And we'll have four people from Barrel testify. Then we're going to go to the villages and have those folks that are in the villages and want to testify, testify. Then we'll come back and pick up the balance of the folks in Barrel so the people in the village can take the phone out of their ear if that's what's happening to them. So with that, go ahead and call this.
Okay, Jeff. Jeff Carroll. Come on down.
Which door do you want, huh?
Thank you. My name is Jeff Carroll, and I'm the Fish and Game Area Biologist for Game Area 26A. But today I'll be speaking as a private citizen and a resident of the North Slope. And I'd like to thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to testify on this, and I think that this year's version of the bill is much better thought out and much more reasonable than what we were talking about last year. But just to start out, I know that you'd like to reassure the people here that this isn't something that's just going to be automatically thrown at us. It's going to go through a land planning process. I just want you to know that the reason that makes us a little nervous is that when we're in a constant land planning process up here, through all the BLM planning processes and everything, and we know very well that these processes don't always turn out the way we'd like to see them turn out. And so it's kind of like stepping into a black hole unless we know more what the results of one of these planning processes is going to be. We kind of hate to send our lives away. So I'll basically be speaking out in opposition to SB 85. And I think one good reason is what it would do to the state's credibility. Mayor O'Malley gave a very good outline of the history of broken promises on the Dalton Highway situation. And so I won't run through that again, but basically the state is now proposing to build more roads on the North Slope for access to petroleum prospects. And of course, the first thing that is said is that these roads will be used exclusively for development, and the general public access will not be allowed, you know. So why would anybody believe that, particularly if this legislation passes? If the state wants to have any credibility on this issue, then the legislature should not pass SB 85. There could be several detrimental effects if the corridor is open to the use of ATVs. in respect to wildlife management. Basically, repealing the statute would throw all the wildlife regulations in Unit 26B into total disarray, because nearly all of the hunts are designed around the fact that there's limited access to hunters because of the corridor restrictions. The regulations for some of these hunts would need to be rewritten, and some hunts would be nearly impossible to conduct if there was much greater access. I realize that it's kind of a complicated legal situation, because there's a statutory ban on the use of ORVs in the area, plus there's a Board of Game regulation which bans the use of ORVs for use in hunting or transporting game or hunting implements. So there's two levels we have to go through, really, to hurry up the hunter. But as I understood, the original intent of the bill is to provide more access for hunting and recreation. At least that's what they said. So if there is increased hunting in that area, there's going to be increased competition and conflicts with subsistence hunters, between subsistence hunters and sports hunters. And one example of a wildlife situation that would be difficult to resolve resolves around the Teshequat caribou herd. Teshequat herd numbers about 45,000 caribou. It's not the largest herd on the North Slope, but it's probably the most important one for subsistence hunters in this section of the North Slope, Arrowhead, Custer, Wixit, Wainwright. And we harvest them at a relatively high rate. And in fact, the rate that we harvest them, in addition to natural mortality, is currently in balance with the productivity of the herd. If we increase the harvest of that herd, it would be too much. During the last two winters, much of the herd has wintered east of their normal range. They've normally wintered in the western part of the North Slope. Last fall, about one half of the herd moved into the area surrounding the Dalton Highway and wintered there. If the use of ORVs, snow machines in particular, were allowed there, allowing people to move across the corridor from the Hall Road and hunt, it would definitely increase the harvest of caribou in that area. If the harvest of the Teshequat herd is increased in that area, we'd have to decrease the harvest somewhere else to stay in balance. Basically, it would create a major user conflict situation between people hunting off the Dalton Highway and North Slope subsistence hunters. As I said, the Teshequat caribou is a very important resource here, and we really can't afford to reduce the harvest here. Right now, we can harvest the herd fairly closely. We know a lot of them over there because we have a lot of satellite radio collars on the herd. But most of the funding to put those satellite collars on comes from NPRA impact funds that the North Slope Borough receives. In the future, if Mr. Wilkins is successful in converting those funds, we wouldn't be able to afford such close monitoring. We wouldn't even know if the Teshequat herd is over there in big numbers or not. Not knowing it would make management decisions very hard to make in that area. Just another impact on wildlife. We have a muskox population in that area. It happens to be on the downslide right now. Even recreationally, if people are out there and they see a bunch of muskoxen standing around, it's only human nature. They're going to go right over there and have to have a closer look. And some people are of the mindset that they go chase them around a little bit. It's just kind of human nature, I'm afraid. So the last thing that population needs is harassment. That muskoxen, the basic strategy of life during the winter months is to be very sedentary. Very well insulated, they basically stand there and stay put and don't expend extra energy. So any extra harassment like that would be a definite better. Another big issue is wildlife enforcement in that area. For many years, the state's wildlife enforcement on the North Slope has been minimal. There's one wildlife enforcement officer located in Coldfoot. He's expected to cover 78,000 square miles. If the area around the Dalton Highway is open to access by ORVs, there's going to be more hunters spread over a larger area, which will increase the need for more wildlife enforcement. state will certainly have to increase funding for enforcement, or the enforcement in that area will be completely inadequate. And as I understand, there is no funding included in this bill to provide for that. You know, I don't know if the officer in Coldfoot has been able to speak freely on this issue, but in personal conversation in a teleconference with the North Slope Borough Fishing Game Management Committee, he made it very clear that he thinks that opening the corridor to ATVs would create serious enforcement problems and would be hard on wildlife resources. So, I think just in summary, in order to maintain its credibility, the state should honor its promise to limit access to North Slope lands, minimize impact on the wildlife, the land, people, North Slope by continuing the statute that prohibits the use of ORVs on the Belton Highway corridor. Thank you.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll, for testifying so eloquently about the Teshekba caribou. What would be the, your proposed effect that would happen to the Western Arctic caribou? Do you have data that would give you a prognosis of what's going to happen?
They stay farther to the west. But, you know, caribou herds change movements pretty dramatically and unpredictably. I can't say that they never spend much time, although... winter before that, last, a fair number of Western Arctic caribou did winter much farther to the east than normal. I mean, they were seen over in the Coldfoot area, that area. And so they could be around that area and be impacted somewhat too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions, Senator Seekins?
Just one follow-up, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Carroll, have you seen any proposal in the by any of the local advisory committees or anybody else to change the non-motorized rules having to do with the pipeline corridor?
Any proposals in the Board of Game Regulations?
Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Thank you very much.
Okay. As I understood, there would be a special session of the Board of Game, you know, if this was passed, to readjust the regulations over there, which leaves everything wide open. You know, you have people, usually those board game meetings are held in Fairbanks for Region 3, and so you have a lot of people there testifying, so it could go either way. You know, we just don't know. I know that they'd like to improve access to hunting areas for people. And so, like I say, that's kind of the black hole that we're stepping into.
Have you ever seen the board game approve regulations that have and extremely detrimental to any population?
I guess that would, not extremely detrimental to any population, but we don't even like to be a little bit detrimental.
You and I should get together and show me even one that was a little detrimental.
Okay.
With that, if there are no further questions, I can handle this one. Dr. Brian Pearson.
I'd like to thank Chairman Wagner and the Senate Resources Committee for allowing me the opportunity to testify in opposition to Senate 185 today. I want to thank you particularly, Mr. Chairman, for choosing to hold these hearings in some of the communities that will be uniquely impacted by this bill should it pass into the law. My name is Brian Pearson, and I'm a wildlife biologist that works for the North Slope Borough Department of Wildlife Management, and I'm testifying within that responsibility today. The North Slope Borough is opposed to removing any part of the Dalton Highway 5-mile corridor to the use of off-road vehicles. The Dalton Highway was originally established only to allow production of and service to oil and gas development that has served to become the economic mainstay of the state. The Dalton Highway was originally closed to public use because of the broad and justifiable concerns over public safety issues, wildlife harassment, increased user conflicts over wildlife violation problems, pipeline security concerns because of the damage and changes off-road vehicle use would cause to the landscape of this northern region. These visions were legally challenged and ultimately overturned, but not without retaining insights towards the original plan to protect the land, its wildlife resources, and the people that both traditionally it want to depend on its resources for the future of their children. This bill clearly disrupts these protections, despite the sponsor's claim that the following issues have been or will be addressed by federal and state planning efforts after the bill is passed into law. Off-road vehicles cause damage to vegetation. They increase soil erosion, and they alter permafrost in development and stability. Tundra and wetland vegetation are particularly susceptible to off-road vehicle damage and often require decades to recover. Off-road vehicles act as vectors to invasive plant species that can change competitive interactions within plant communities and often result in plant communities that do not resemble their original state. Executive orders were signed by both Presidents Nixon and Carter restricting the use of off-road vehicles on federal lands due to their negative impacts. These orders required federal agencies to designate and mark trails in order, as well as to monitor the effectiveness of trail management and abandonment, as well as to facilitate regeneration of native plant species. This has been accomplished with mixed results and at considerable financial expense to these agencies. Removing the 5-mile corridor along the highway will increase hunting pressure and harassment to wildlife on the North Slope by snow machine and ATV users alike. The Teshekpuk herd is utilized by all communities on the North Slope and experiences one of the highest harvest rates of all caribou herds in the state. This bill will increase harvest rates in the Teshekpuk herd by sport hunters using snow machines because it's the only herd that remains on the North Slope throughout the winter. Increased harvest could result in changes to state fish and game regulations that would affect the ability of subsistence hunters to harvest an adequate supply of animals to support themselves as well as their communities. The Central Arctic herd has served as a great study herd for oil and gas development impacts to caribou life history parameters because of its low harvest rate. Increases in hunting pressure in the Central Arctic herd will certainly change our ability to investigate these development impacts to caribou. Increased traffic along the Dalton Highway will likely affect caribou migration patterns because caribou are sensitive to both the speed as well as the quantity of vehicular traffic. 2 years ago, caribou from the Teshekpuk herd were delayed from crossing the Dalton Highway and failed to reach their traditional calving grounds. And this past fall, a group of caribou from the Teshekpuk herd, their migratory path appears to have been deflected by the Dalton Highway. Opening the 5-mile corridor will only increase these disruptions in caribou movements. Removing the corridor will require an increased presence by law enforcement because an increase in hunting violations will likely occur along the corridor and throughout the Arctic coastal plain. Law enforcement has traditionally been lax along the Dalton Highway and its adjoining lands. There's been only one, if any, active state trooper in Coldfoot, and the passage of this bill will require a substantial increase in trooper presence and financial resources necessary to police this remote region. Finally, when a nation is increasing its vigilance for national security reasons, I find it surprising that the state is considering fostering access to the National Petroleum Reserve without careful evaluation of security issues. The two largest losses of oil in Alaska have resulted from sabotage. First, the bombing of the TAPS near Fairbanks in 78, and then the recent shooting of the TAPS north of Fairbanks. Together, these two instances alone caused the loss of 60% of the total crude oil spilled from the pipeline since it began operation. The It took days to control the spill that resulted from the pipeline shooting incident north of Fairbanks because of its remote set location. A similar spill on the coastal plain will likely take longer to detect and control, both because of the region's true remote nature, as well as because of the severe weather that we often experience and that often prohibits aircraft traffic. So I urge you not to adopt Senate Bill 85 into law because of the reasons I've outlined. Removing the corridor will only increase user conflicts in the region. These conflicts will likely disrupt the ability of subsistence users to harvest an adequate amount of wildlife. Currently, the public has access from the Dalton Highway. They can dog sled, ski, and hike throughout the region. Hunters have the opportunity for a truly unique hunt that is free from a myriad of off-road vehicle users. The damage that these off-road vehicles will cause to the tundra will certainly change these unique opportunities to the general public of the state, not just to the North Slope Borough residents. And I hope that you'll consider rejecting this bill, or at least, I was going to say that I hope you'll consider not passing it through Resources Committee, but I guess you've already done that. So thank you for that opportunity.
Well, that can change. That can be asked back to the resources. And Senator Seekins, I'll have a discussion on that. Is there any questions at this time of Mr. Pearson? Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Pearson. I think you have testified before, have you not?
I have, and I sat on the phone trying to testify.
It's pretty awkward.
So it's nice to have you up.
Thank you very much. Next is Arnold Brower, Sr.
Can you call on the director? I'm not prepared for this.
Oh, okay.
I would like to come in on the later portion of the testimony so I can talk to the people outside my language so they can hear you.
Okay, that's fine.
That's what I want to come out strongly on what the issues are. I want those who have testimonies to come out.
We can do that.
I want to interpret them in my language. One time is enough. I don't have no interpretation to that.
That'll be
get the message.
That'll be fine. We'll do that. Then we'll call you later. Thank you. Let's see who's next.
Edward Ita.
Oh, there he is.
Then we'll go to the Ita.
Okay. Got it.
Thank you, Chairman Wagner, senators, members of the Resource Committee. I'm glad to be here. I'm going to speak against Senate Bill 85, and I've titled my testimony Another Broken Promise, which our mayor stated and which Joff stated. I'm Edward Sahanita. I'm a Yupik Eskimo, born and raised here, and live on the North Slope. Currently, I am the director of the North Slope Borough Department of Public Works, and I am here today as a private citizen, a whaling captain, and a subsistence hunter. You have heard mention of the Tashikpuk caribou herd on and off, even though that is not the subject, but my father has an allotment there, and I've been fortunate enough to be included as a part of that thing. So we're very near and dear to the Tashikpuk caribou herd, even though this is not the discussion. My title of Another Broken Promise rests on this fact that, as we all know, former Governor Jay Hammond died this year, and God rest his soul. Mr. Hammond made a promise to the original people of the North Slope that a corridor of limited access would protect our subsistence lifestyle and our environment. This Senate Bill 85 looks like another broken promise to me. At a time when we say that development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge can be accomplished without harm to one of the few pristine environments left in the United States,
representatives of our state proposed that we take away the protective corridor of limited access surrounding the Dalton Highway that has been instrumental in preserving this same environment. The very suggestion erodes the state's integrity on other promises. A new industrial road with no public access is in the works right now. Will that promise be broken too? I would like to recognize for a moment the process you have undertaken to hear our concerns. This is proposed legislation, and we know it's not law yet. And you have traveled very far from the urban centers of our state to hear us. And I thank you sincerely for taking our testimony. Currently, you can travel from the Brooks Range to the Beaufort Sea and view caribou, bear, moose, muskox, wolves, and many other species on the road. You can even hunt many of them, but you cannot erode the tundra or pursue wildlife with an off-road vehicle. How many in this room could refrain from approaching a muskox herd if you access the corridor with a four-wheeler or a snow machine? These sedentary creatures are declining in numbers now and cannot survive being this accessible. The Central Arctic and Tushitpuk herds of caribou that we depend on for our food are currently harvested, as Goff said, at a very high rate, but it's sustainable by the people who have lived off this land for thousands of years. What will happen to this food source if there is unrestricted access to it? And I support our mayor on his comments of that possibility. Similar restrictions were lifted from the Paxton Highway near Cantwell, and now caribou hunting is limited to a drawing for permits, and there are not enough moose to sustain a hunt. I really believe that that's an impact that's on the record. What about pipeline security, game management, road maintenance, public safety? I do not see these addressed in the bill. Currently, there is one game management officer located in Coldfoot, as Goff alluded to. Law enforcement in this area is already minimal, and this legislation is proposing to change portions of the highway into what I would call the equivalent of a tailgate party. Everything we know about managing healthy wildlife populations near the corridor has been based on limited access. All of the game management regulations